I'm Andrew Skipper. This is the A Perspective, a series of podcasts examining how COVID-19 is changing the way we do business in Africa. I've been having conversations with some of Africa's top business minds and investors, people who are deeply committed to building the continent. They're certainly pulling no punches about the problems, but they're also spotting enormous opportunities for real growth. My guest today is Chris Chidiotomi from CDC, formerly the Commonwealth Development Corporation. CDC is owned by the UK government. For over 70 years, it's provided development finance for countries focusing in Africa and Asia. Chris is head of infrastructure equity at CDC. An engineer by training, he has a wealth of expertise in infrastructure products in Africa and has a special interest in power, water, and sustainable industries. Welcome, Chris. Interesting times for UK development funding after the government announcements regarding DFID yesterday. But here today, we're talking about you and CDC. We last met on stage at the ebullient Ghanaian event during the UK-Africa Investment Summit, talking about financing projects off balance sheet. There was loads of positivity about the future during the whole week, but things have, of course, changed dramatically since then. How's the pandemic and the global lockdowns affected your life in recent months?
Thanks, Andrew. I remember the Ghana event that we attended. So listen, since March, I guess, end of March, one's been adjusting to the global pandemic issue and the whole working remotely and working from home. So I'll say a couple of things in terms of what's been impact. So on the personal side, I'm now spending more time with the family. So that's been a very helpful part of the adjustment. Having probably about 3 hours a day of commute also now no longer. So, you could say 15 hours of my week I now have. So the key thing is how am I utilizing that? Working remotely has also allowed one to kind of really push the boundary on, do you need to actually see people face to face to transact and get business done? How do you manage and lead remotely? So I think that's been quite a big personal challenge. One, learning more about yourself, learning about your team, and adjusting your leadership style. Because in times like this, what I've found is you're needing to understand each individual in your team, their wants and their needs, and how you motivate them during this difficult time. You know, I have a team member, for example, who was due to relocate all his family to the UK. He's just moved from Morocco. Morocco has been on lockdown, so he's been isolated in a flat in London. So I'm having to kind of say, for example, engage with them on a more regular basis, because mental health, I think it's something we have to pay particular attention to during this
time.
So that's been one area. So I have a great team. So it's paying attention and learning how to work with my team. We're having regular catch-ups and ensuring when we have the calls, we'll switch on our videos. So at least there's a personal touch still there, because I think that's fundamentally important. In terms of business, absolutely changed. So there's been a focus on taking a step back and just reviewing all our portfolio, as opposed to rushing out there and looking for new deals. So the first thing is kind of what's happening, what are the challenges out there in terms of our portfolio company, and then focusing on that. So very much a number of things that we're having to adjust to. From a CDC perspective, the whole organization has been working remotely, literally from when the UK government announced it. And that's been all our office in the UK and our offices across the continent. But somehow we have been able to adjust well and work well remotely. So thank God for IT, yeah, and the strength of IT systems.
But what's been the biggest challenge, do you think, for CDC in Africa since March?
So listen, the unprecedented uncertainty created by COVID has led to a dramatic rise in the risk for a lot of companies in our market, projects, and also fund managers in terms of the CDC portfolio and market. Yeah. This has led to adverse consequences in terms of employment and local communities in our market. If I look at what the World Bank kind of forecasts with regards to the African continent, you know, there is an expectation that this is us in Africa experiencing its first recession this century. There's reports around potentially about 3% GDP contraction, and the impacts on jobs we think will be huge. McKinsey estimates that there's about 9 million to 80 million formal jobs will be lost across Africa, and about 100 million informal jobs. Which women make up about 75% and are vulnerable to loss of income. And, you know, if I think about some of our investments where construction, for example, has stopped, there's a lot of informal jobs related to, say, those type of industries. All of that has stopped throughout this whole pandemic time. So many businesses that were booming and families that were thriving pre-COVID now face incredible challenging times. So failure to protect jobs for us is one of the major ramifications for the continent's resilience and long-term sustainable development. So what I would say is this alone risks undoing many of the development gains that had been hard won over the last decades and some of the sectors that we had helped progress forward. The issue is also compounded by the perfect storm of declining commodity prices, you know, particularly oil, where most of the market, some of the markets in Africa rely on, and also tourism. And reduced export volumes. So the depleting foreign exchange reserves is also triggering a kind of downside overall in the economy. So from CDC's perspective, all of these are some of the big challenges that we see in view of the pandemic.
But it's interesting because, you know, UK Africa Investment Summit, the Prime Minister looking to turbocharge UK involvement, and CDC is clearly one of the strongest weapons the UK government has in delivering on its promises in Africa. How do you see CDC's role in that and developing post the UK investment summit, post COVID? And do you think you're up to the challenge of that? Because it's a big task, I think.
Sure. So our mandate is to bring about positive environmental, economic and social change through all our investments. Now, COVID-19 is going to have a profound impact on every country in Africa and also South Asia. So as an organization, we're devoting every resource to support companies in our market to try and outlast the devastating impact of this pandemic. Well, one big positive for us is we're a long-term investor. So we see CDC as key in playing a role here to help businesses with regards to sustainability, but also to ride the storm. We're not a short-term investor. We look at long-term. We've been doing this for 71 years now across our markets. So for us, we think we're perfectly placed to continue to support growth in challenging environments like this. Now, there's going to be a contraction, but you need patient capital to help you survive during these testing times. Most importantly, we're focused currently on preserving the integrity of our existing portfolio investments. What does that mean? That means us providing different levels of support in terms of capital, support in terms of information, to allow our portfolios to try and weather the crisis. Now, this is our current top priority. Today, our investee companies employ over 800,000 people, which are located in all kind of countries across both regions, that are unable to provide the sort of wage and business support subsidies that have been announced in the more developed markets. So without our ongoing support, many may not survive and countless jobs will be lost, resulting in devastating hardship. This is why a big focus for us is about preserving the integrity of these existing investments.
Where do you see the biggest opportunities for CDC at the moment in Africa?
So the banking sector is perhaps the most important area where CDC and other DFIs can intervene by providing systematic liquidity support to help financial institutions maintain or increase lending levels to their business clients. So the kind of availability of capital, we think, is even more important now. As key drivers of growth and those most affected by lockdown, it's vital that SMEs secure adequate support to shield them from the downturn. Because in most of these markets, SMEs are what drives the market. So access to trade finance remains another persistent challenge for local companies, particularly during financial crises. So for us, building on existing trade finance relationships, DFIs like us should continue to inject liquidity to support SMEs and basic needs industries.
Well, how do you see the role of DFIs? A priority is shifting from, because we were all talking about the infrastructure gap, power, roads, a priority is shifting towards health infrastructure, supporting the banking system and things like that, which are just desperately needed now. Do you see that as a change, and where is that going to lead, do you think?
So I think so we currently invest in seven key subsectors. So I think that focus still remains because these are key economic subsectors. I think health has clearly been a focus, and that's where a lot of the governments have paid more attention on. for us. So we are strengthening and scaling up the response to the economic and health challenges of COVID. So it's about us strengthening what we can do. What does that really mean? That means making proactive investments in companies, projects and partnership that can directly mitigate some of the adverse impacts of the crisis. This reflects our strategic priority as a DFI, because ours is to address some of these critical challenges facing our market and to be prepared to accept a higher risk profile than commercial investments during this period. And this is the essence of, I guess, us being a patient capital investor. We know that public health systems are severely constrained in our geographies. There's lack of access to PPEs, for example. Ventilators we knew were scarce, we now know even more. And even when they become available, vaccination will be slow to reach these countries. Yeah. So alongside the health emergency, an economic emergency is unfolding. Companies that are otherwise, I guess, healthy, especially on the SME, will need urgent working capital, as I discussed earlier, around availability of capital and using the banking sector to try and help move this along. Again, without government subsidies, companies will have to look at local banks who will only be able to provide liquidity if organizations like CDC step in. So I think it's really that focus of those emergency economic recovery, which is starting to unfold, and how we target the right companies and the right partnership to try and help us enable liquidity to get into the system.
So, Chris, the role of DFIs in terms of development finance is one thing. But with Brexit coming up, there's a tendency to look at the UK as being on its own. How closely are you committed to working with other DFIs and private sectors generally across the continent?
No. So naturally, the way we invest, we invest first by backing key sponsors. We also invest by working in partnership with fund managers. We also invest, let's say, on the debt side, for example, alongside other DFIs. So I see none of that stopping. I think even more so in this time, you want to work closer with all manner of partners. So at least your strategy is consistent, your strategies are aligned, and you are trying to alleviate poverty and create development jointly. And because of the nature of the investor we are, we don't see ourselves as the sole investor to get the continent out of the situation. It's about finding the right local partnership to enable you create a sustainable business, and also internationally finding the right type of capital alongside you to be able to provide enough liquidity in the system that thinks longer term. So our partnership with other DFIs and IFIs remains and actually is strengthened during this period, because we're sitting down together to compare notes. We're sitting down together to understand what are the various lessons we're seeing globally and specifically around our continent, so that any interventions we're making it in a consistent manner. Because the worst thing that could happen is companies that have crises and probably have various DFIs giving them or lending them capital, having to approach all of them individually and hearing different responses. And that doesn't help you get out of a crisis. So the idea has been working closely, particularly with the DFIs and IFIs, to try and be consistent in how we support companies during this period.
Your specific role, I think, is more on the infrastructure and power side. There's an element of you still need the power. How do you see your role, and how do you see you can get more power into the continent now, even in the current context?
Let me talk first. So in terms of power, in terms of Africa, so we have a number of direct and indirect investments. So CDC is one of the biggest investors in power in Africa. Specific to my team, we're an investor in a company called Globalec, which we are a 70% shareholder. And Globalec is the foremost African power developer, asset owner, operator that has circa 1.3 gigawatts of power across different technologies in the continent. So pre-COVID, Globalec has been busy. So all the operational assets that Globalec has in the continent, what we've seen is there's been even more need for those assets to run, to provide power during this time. And that's also involved us having regular consultation with government as they do the required intervention in country, because the key thing government emphasizes supply of basic infrastructure, which power is key. So we've seen our asset continue to operate during this period. Pre-COVID, we were working on a number of power projects. During COVID, naturally because of the suspension of movement, some of the investments we've been doing, there's been a stoppage on construction. But notwithstanding, government have been working with us to try and find out how quickly we can get back in with the right measures in place to allow construction to carry on, because there's a recognition that infrastructure projects ongoing enables economic growth because of the link to job creation. So that's been a key recognition of the importance of continuing with infrastructure projects, particularly after the crisis. So that's something that we've seen and we're seeing, and government is also focused on it, because most of the infrastructure assets we look at, there is a strong link with government.
Chris, the African Union has said recently it's looking for a paradigm shift in Africa, which includes its approach to debt and all sorts of things, but critically focusing on in Africa trade and adding value for Africa in Africa. I mean, this seems to me part of the mission of CDC to actually capacity build and work in partnership with Africa. And I'd like to your views on that, on your role in developing in Africa, but also you have an Africa list. Can you tell me a bit about both those things?
Yes, I can, Andrew. So firstly, I completely agree that the broad-based economic development cannot be stimulated by just capital alone. We know from experience that it's the quality of leadership more than any other single factor that determines whether or not businesses succeed and therefore countries grow and develop. Now, the private needs to support the next generation of business leaders, people with the skills to capitalize on opportunities, navigate challenges, and build businesses that will help the continent thrive. This is where the Africa list that CDC runs comes in. It was launched in 2014. It covers 6 countries now, Uganda, Zambia, Ethiopia, Tanzania, Ghana, and DRC. It offers exceptional business leaders in core markets into a forum for knowledge sharing and building relationships that support their professional development. I equip them with the management and leadership skills necessary to lead and grow innovative organizations, because we feel this is something that any continent that is looking to grow and sustain its growth, it's fundamentally important human capital. So for instance, the African list holds events in each country to bring members together, to connect, share ideas, ultimately develop as leaders. We've also partnered with leading business schools, such as the SAID Business School, and private sector organizations such as Bain & Company to help members access leadership and management training. And then for us also as an organization looking to invest more in the continent, it also helps us with having a good mix of networks and contacts that we can also pull on to help us with regards to our strategic thinking about what to do in the continent, and also helping us on some level of local intelligence that you need as an investor that isn't fully based in the continent.
That's fascinating, actually, the Africa list. To wrap up, I think, Chris, what's the message to the continent from CDC at the moment at this critical time?
So we remain open for business, fundamentally, so that's yes. That's important.
Good. That's good today.
We're adopting a three-pronged strategy. Some of it I've alluded to in the discussion thus far. So one is about focus on our existing portfolio, which is making sure we're preserving those entities because of the amount of jobs and the development impact that these entities that we've already invested in have. So that's one focus, and a big focus. The other one is basically what we call strengthen, so which is scaling up the response to the economic and health challenges of COVID, you know, be it through the health system, be it through helping companies who are trying to rejig their manufacturing, maybe to produce more PPEs, or try and produce related, products to support this challenge, economic challenge that's out there. And then the kind of wider focus is as we start to come out of COVID, there's going to be a need to rebuild. So as a long-term partner that we see ourselves as in all these countries, and for us to continue to invest, we need to also be looking to rebuild the portfolio, rebuild the opportunities where we'll be able to look to deploy our long-term patient capital to enable the development impact and the sustainability that we want to create in these markets.
Thank you, Chris. And so with that, Chris Jijijiomi, Head of Infrastructure Equity at CTT, thank you for being part of the A Perspective today.
Andrew, thank you very much.